In verse number 8 down through verse number 14, Luke chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 8 down through verse number 14. Again, it's good to have you here this evening, your faithfulness not only to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also your attendance here at Sharon Baptist Church. And here's the truth, if you'll attend because you love the Lord, then you don't have to worry about attending just because you're a member of Sharon Baptist Church, amen. The two kind of go just hand in hand. Well, let's read here in Luke chapter number 2. I want to bring to you another Christmas message, and let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 2, we'll read verse number 8 down through verse number 14. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 2, beginning in verse 8, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into the heavens. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart." Father, we bow our heart and our knee before you once again this day. And Father, I come before you again at this hour, Father, asking the same thing I asked at 11 o'clock this morning, Father, that you would fill this preacher with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Father, I understand and I know that I can't do this in my own flesh, Father, that I need you. I need the empowerment from on high. I need the Holy Spirit of God to work in my heart and my life, Father, and fill me with his mighty power. Father, I pray for this service this evening, Father, that you would just be a joyful thought in the hearts of these people that have gathered here today. And Lord, we pray for those that can't be here tonight. Some are at work and some are sick, not feeling well. And Father, we ask that you would just let them know just how dearly we miss them not being here. And Father, bless the ones that have come for the time they have given up to worship you, Father. And when they come away, knowing that they have met with God and God has spoken to their heart, enlightened their heart this evening. So Lord, we pray and ask these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. Ring the bells, let the whole world know that Jesus is born today many years ago. Sleigh bells ringing, are you listening? Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, Southern gospel. Caroling, caroling through the snow, Christmas bells, are you ringing? You'll figure that out about midnight tonight, amen. Because I didn't want to say Jingle Bell Rock, so I said Jingle Bell, Southern gospel, amen. You'll figure it out tonight, amen. I think you'll get the hint. I want to bring you to this message that I've entitled tonight, The Bells of Christmas. And I think if I had more time to think, and if I had your mind perhaps, I could have come up with many other Christmas songs, both secular and also Christian songs that tell the joyful sound of the Christmas bell. A number of years ago when I first came here to Sharon Baptist Church, I preached a message that I entitled The Lights of Christmas, and maybe some year in the future I might do that. You might remember that I put a bright light, a Christmas tree strand of lights, and we talked about every color on that Christmas tree light, and we talked about what color symbolically meant for the Christmas season. But tonight, I'm not going to do that. Tonight, I want us to consider another popular symbol of Christmas time, and that is the Christmas bell. For those whose stomach are rumbling, I'm not talking about Taco Bell, the other day you have a bell up there. I am talking about the bell that oftentimes, or in old days, were on church spires. When I sat down and started to think about the bells of the season, I came up with a good number of bells. If you think about it, there's a lot of different kind of bells that are around this time of year, and I want to share those bells with you this evening and maybe try to lighten your heart, and maybe Brother John will go away from this morning's message thinking, God was good to me tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice, first of all, tonight, as we think about the bells of Christmas, think about the bells of Salvation Army Kettle Keepers. The bells of the Salvation Army Kettle Keepers. You know, shortly after Thanksgiving, and when I moved down here to Virginia, I found out that they like to get a jump on it oftentimes, and they don't even wait till the day after Thanksgiving. Sometimes they wait a week before Thanksgiving, and the kettles are out, and they're ringing their bells, and they're standing there. Let me ask you this. Do you feel guilty when you go by there if you don't have any money to put in? I know I do. I feel guilty. And I look at the guy and say, I don't have cash. You know, thank God they don't take debit cards. I might have to pull my debit card out every time I go by. But I feel a little guilty because I know what they're trying to do, spread the gospel throughout all the world. And so, you know, try to keep a quarter in your pocket or a dollar bill in your pocket or something, and that might help keep the guilt away. But as long as I can remember, those kettle keepers, as I call them, have been out. And just the other day, as I went into Walmart, guess what I heard? You think I heard the ding, ding, ding? No, I didn't hear the ding, ding, ding. I heard this, hey, hey, ho, 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 hey. Some guy was yelling. You could hear him from the back part of the parking lot. I didn't know what was going on. And I walked up to him, and I looked at him, and I said, don't you have a bell? And he said, it'll cost you. I said, how much? He said, how much you got? And I said, I got a dollar. I put a dollar in. Ding, ding, ding. He rang the bell. But he wanted to get everyone's attention way on the other side of the parking lot. And I thought, there's a guy that can raise some money right there. I remember, as a young child, asking my parents, but more specifically my mom, for coins to place in those red kettles. That red kettle was located at the mall that we had. And listen, the first mall that we went to, it was a mall that had stores down both sides, and it had like archways going across the top, but it was open. I mean, you could sit down there, but in the winter it was cold, and in the summer it rained right in there, and that was the first place we went to. And then eventually they closed it in. It became a pretty nice place to go visit, but as a young boy, I used to go and I used to hang out at Woolworth's, a store called Five and Dime. And I guess you could buy stuff for 5 cents and 10 cents, and maybe in my parents' or the grandparents' day, it was probably long after that. But it was a wonderful store. I loved that store. And that red kettle keeper would be there, and boy, every time my mom would go grocery shopping, she'd drop us off and say, be back in like 45 minutes, and we'd run the mall and do what we wanted to do. And we always sometimes would say, Mom, can we have some money for the kettle? And she said, well, do you have some money? And I said, yes, I have some money, but I want to keep my money. Don't you have any money? You can give for me to give to them. And so sometimes she would, and sometimes she'd make me use my own money. But understand this, that Christmas brings out the best in many people. You know, they give to many great causes during this time of year. And I think that we, on our cell phones, get all kinds of solicitations to give to, you know, nonprofit organizations during this time of year, because they know people's hearts are set on helping people, being a blessing to other people. And I believe the Salvation's mission is to care for the physical and the material, but also the greater, to extent, the spiritual needs of the people everywhere in all the world. I want you to realize, you know, that this is partially the calling of the local New Testament church and born-again believers today. You see, our world is filled with countless numbers of men and women and boys and girls who are lost in their sin, and Christmas gives us the opportunity to witness the grace and goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really think about it, we're a Christian army that's moving forward, onward, fighting the sins of this world, having the sword of the Spirit in Christian love. Imagine this world if we don't do what God has asked us to do in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would encourage you, when you hear that ding, 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 or the yelling and the ho, ho, ho of the Salvation Army kettle collector, I want you to march out boldly during this Christmas season and tell someone about Jesus Christ. You know, we make it pretty easy for you to do. Just right around the corner, we have a whole box of tracts. What do you want for Christmas? I mean, Pastor James has said before that this thing is very, very a good design. It's heavy cardboard. And if you give this to someone, they think it's so heavy, there could be a gift card in it. So at least they'll open it up and see if there's something in there. And what do you want for Christmas? And then it says the best gift of all is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would encourage you, even if you don't normally hand out tracts, people are softer, people are milder. They'll be more willing to receive something from you. You ought to get to the point where you usually shop at the same place at all the time. Normally we do that. We get gas at the same place and we shop at the same place. That when you whip this out, they say, oh, you gave me one last week. And you're like, oh, okay, take one for your mother then. Take one for your friend. Or can I just leave this one right here? That's the kind of spirit we ought to have. When you hear that ding, 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 it ought to remind us that we are to go out and march out and boldly tell someone about Jesus Christ. And here's the truth. When you do that, when you hand that track out, your heart's going to beat a little bit faster, but guess what? You're a soldier of Jesus Christ, and you can handle it, and you can take it, so just go ahead and do it. Personally, when Donnie and I send out Christmas cards, we like to send out Christmas cards that have scripture verses on it that really give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we try as best as we can to make sure that those verses are King James verses, since we just love the King James Bible. But when you think about that, when someone tells you happy holidays, answer back, Merry Christmas. You know, and force that issue upon them. A lot of stores lately have been changing, as we said on Wednesday, but there's still some diehard corporate stores that make their workers say happy holidays. And when you say happy holidays, you say, well, Merry Christmas to you. And you know what? We did that last year, Donna and I, and a lady said, looked around and said, well, Merry Christmas to you too. Amen. I said, glory to God. Amen. It was worth it all. There are all kinds of ways in which we can work Jesus Christ into our conversations during the Christmas season. It seems like with all the decoration and all the songs and the gift giving, there's always some way that you can wiggle the conversation of Jesus Christ and what he has done for them into your conversation. And so may the bells of the Salvation Army remind us to let our witness ring out loudly and clearly and unashamedly during this Christmas season. Well, there's another bell that we often hear, and that is this, the musical bells, musical bells. You know, it thrills my heart when I hear a Christian music played on a secular radio station. It doesn't happen that often, but during the rest of the year, the same stations play worldly music. But this time of year, guess what? They play worldly music, but they mix it in, especially as we get closer to the day we celebrate Christ's birth, traditional Christmas carols and Christmas songs that bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a change it is. You know, last year it went something like this. It was a station that typically during the year plays worldly music, but this time of year they play Christmas music. And I listened for about an hour, maybe a little bit less while we were driving. And as I listened during that hour, only two of the songs were what we consider worldly Christmas songs. All the rest were other songs that at least mentioned the birth of Christ or the reason for the birth of Christ or something along that line. And so in a space of an hour, they had more Christian Christmas songs than they had worldly Christmas songs. That's not going to happen the day after Christmas. That's over with. That's going to be done. But the majority of the music is considered traditional music, Christmas carols about Jesus. And I'm thankful for that. Some stations like BBN, if you like to listen to BBN, that's one of my favorite stations. That's my kind of music right there, BBN. Some of you like K-Love. They only play songs that speak of the love of Jesus Christ and his salvation and what he has to offer. So if you have a choice, you probably should pick like BBN or at the very least K-Love. Their songs may not always be the genre that you appreciate, but they do bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have a party at your house, we have friends coming over, I would highly encourage you to play music along that venue. Or maybe you have a favorite Christian artist that put out a Christmas album. Play that. Bring honor and glory to the Lord. That's the type of music, and that's the station that we ought to be listening to during the year. And then I always appreciate our choir and our drama team who practice for weeks and even, I should say really months and months to help us enjoy the Christmas story each year. Don't forget to invite your friends and family to attend our annual Christmas musical drama. It's on December the 16th, and notice the time has changed. We roll it back a little bit. It begins at 6 o'clock. Invite your lost family, friends, and loved ones. And again, you don't tell them you're coming to a service. They were putting on a play at church at 6 o'clock, and it's going to be wonderful. The choir has been practicing. The drama team has been practicing. And then guess what? Afterwards, we can have Christmas cookies and hot chocolate and or hot cider or whatever Mary prepares for us. And you invite them to come as we think about musical bells. Here's the truth. Your neighbor is not going to come unless you invite them. Unless some miracle by God or something along that way, your strange family, your co-worker, your friends and family aren't going to come Sunday night to hear the gospel unless you invite them to come. I can't help but thinking about a family several years ago that came on our Easter drama and got saved. Boy, you know what? If they wouldn't have invited their family member to come, they never would have gotten saved. They never would have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. So they're not going to come if you don't invite them. I look forward to as well as our gospel, our Christmas gospel sing. That's going to be held on December the 23rd there in the evening service. I'm excited about that. I love to hear Christian music sung in church, and I love to hear the specials. This is my favorite time of the year, and my favorite gospel sing that we do is the one that we do right before Christmas. And this one is literally almost a couple days right before Christmas. So come, be a part of that. Some of our church children are performing in Christmas concerts, whether band or choral or ensembles. I encourage you to seek them out. Find out when they are going to sing or going to play in their band and play their little instrument for you. Last year, Don and I had the opportunity to go to two different ones, and we really appreciated that and enjoyed going. And you say, well, how was the music? Well, we enjoyed going. It was a wonderful time. But you know what? We weren't always the greatest when we were in elementary school or junior high. But you don't go because it's good. You go because you love them and you love Christmas musical bells. Amen. I encourage you to do that. But then there's Salvation Army kettle bells, and there's musical bells, but then there's another bell, and that is the clock bell. For a number of years, and it hasn't been very recently, to be honest with you, it was my practice to set my alarm clock very, very early in the morning on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, when traditional Black Friday was. I don't like Black Friday anymore. I think we ought to protest it. We ought not go shopping on Black Friday. You can do what you want. I'm not putting you down if you do, because there has been occasions where I stumbled out as well. But I think we ought to leave Thanksgiving with the family. You know what? Go to bed early and get up at 3 in the morning. Go stand in line for hours and hours and get what you want. I think that was wonderful. I used to do that, and I'd be waiting at 0:30 in the line somewhere, having a coffee that's already gotten cold, trying to get a bargain for my wife for someone in our family, you know. And she'd be somewhere out of the store, some other part of the store. We're fighting and just having a wonderful time, you know, doing all that. But you know how it is. Listen, my well-prepared list really pointed me to the things that I needed, and then I hurried through the checkout line and with my well-prepared list to the next place that I was supposed to again pick things up. And before noon, all of my shopping was just about done, but oh, do I hate to get up when that bell rings, when that alarm clock goes off. Back in those days, I didn't have an alarm clock that was kind of nice. It was like literally a foghorn. It was from my military days when after long nights of working, getting up early, that I needed a foghorn to wake up. And I hated that thing. But it was worth doing. So I got up and I would go out and I would go shopping with my family and do a wonderful thing along that way. Let me help you. Some may want to set some alarms to remind them to take time for their personal devotions during this holiday season, during this Christmas season. Some may want to take times to mark these special events we have at Sharon Baptist Church so you remember. You know, nowadays with our calendars, most of us have electronic calendars nowadays and maybe paper ones as backup, but you can set timers and reminders. And if I have a doctor's appointment, I set my phone to remind me 2 days ahead of time. And then 30 minutes before I go, go. And finally it vibrates and says, get in the car and go. You know, you need to leave now if you want to make it on time. Traffic is busy or traffic is light. Get going right now. Some of you need some reminders of the things going on at the house of God to say, I'm going to be here. I'm going to do that because I like musicals and I like to being able to tell the gospel to people and I like clock bells. Don't skip them and do a good job when you come and be a part of them. Find a time that works for you when you do your devotions and then stick to it. You know, sometimes that this part of the time of the year, if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to get into a little slump in our reading and praying, and we're just so busy, maybe wrapping, cleaning, cooking. I know some of you ladies like to make homemade cookies and candy, and that's wonderful, and I encourage you to do that if you want to do that. But don't take time out of your Bible reading, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. During this time of the year, you ought to draw closer to Him as we get ready to the day that we would celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, I was growing up, my grandmother had a mantle clock, and that mantle clock would ding every 15 minutes. And then on the hour, it played the Westminster chimes. It was a constant reminder to me that time was passing by. But the truth is, when I go sleep at my grandma's, if it was just for one night, I'd be up half the night. That clock would just drive me crazy. But we'd have a special time that all of us, I would go, and then my sister would go, then my brother Scott would go. We'd stay a whole week at grandmother's. And after the first or second night, we're like, what clock? What Westminster chimes? You kind of got used to it. But after a while of sleeping there, it wouldn't faze me. I wasn't even aware that it's there anymore. And I wonder how many of us have heard the warning bells of the scriptures ringing again and again and again deep inside of our hearts, reminding us maybe you need to be saved, reminding us maybe you need to surrender your life and give yourself totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. The symbol of the season reminds us also that we ought to get ready to die. You say, well, how do I get ready to die? Well, preparing now for your eternity, and that simply is trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss this bell. Don't miss this clock alarm. Confess Christ as your Savior. Accept the salvation while you have opportunity to do so. And when you do, you'll be amazed at the joy of the Christmas season is going to come to you. Well, there's another bell. And that's not besides the clock bell, and that's, get this now, the cash register bell. Now, today's cash registers don't have bells like they used to. But in the old days, they did. And you would literally push buttons like this, pull a handle down and put it up, and then ding, and it would bring up the price. And when you're in the store, you knew if someone either got in your cash register without you knowing, or they were purchasing something because of the ding of that bell. So stores are packed, and all the stores want us to get just the right gift for that special person. And if you don't know what that just the right gift is, they'll be happy to point you in myriad of directions on what they believe that special gift would be, and starting with the most expensive, working down to the least expensive. You know, it's fun to receive. You know, I don't think anybody would say here today, say, Pastor, I don't like getting gifts. But you're an idiot. Everyone likes gifts, amen? I'm not calling anybody an idiot, but we do like to get gifts. On our birthday, if we don't get any, we don't get upset. But when someone gives you something, you don't say, nah, I don't want any gifts. Thank you very much. We all do. We like gifts. And, sometimes we want gifts. Sometimes we desire gifts. And sometimes you do like me. You make a list and put it out and put the Amazon code number for it and how much it's going to cost and when you have to order it by to get it shipped just on time. Listen, we all like to give to get gifts, but you know, as well, it's fun to give gifts, and you have to decide which is the best to do. When I was younger, I thought receiving gifts was the best, but you know, as I get older, I still think receiving is the best. No, I don't. I begin to move a little bit on this thing, and I do enjoy giving gifts, particularly to people that have needs, or my grandchildren that they ask their grandmother for something very nice, and I do enjoy giving things to my children, things to people to be a blessing to them. But far too many Americans today, Christmas shopping really just destroys their budget big time. You know, some questions that we should ask ourselves, do we give out of love or do we give out of duty? If you give out of duty, perhaps maybe you don't really need to get. You don't need to give. We should give because we love that person. Do we give what we can afford, or do we give to impress or to outdo? There's been times in my life that I don't give what I can afford because I give because I want to impress or I want to outdo. I know this person always does this, and I'm thinking, wow, if I do this, I'm going to outdo them. But guess what? They jumped up about five notches, and my gift that was going to wow them turned out to be just something small and piddly compared to what they did. So God very quickly taught me, just give because you love them. Give what you can afford. And then thirdly, does our Christmas shopping reflect good stewardship, understanding this, that God owns everything? You know, sometimes people are going to get gifts that they'll never use. And maybe they'll re-gift them, or maybe they'll use them in the White Elephant gift exchange next Saturday night at the church Christmas party. And I think the story of the prodigal son reminds us that we cannot buy true friendship. And no matter how big a gift or how nice a gift you give to your friends, not going to buy their friendship. We cannot buy the love of our children, no matter how hard we try. More than gifts, this is what our children need. They need our time. They need love. And they need hugs. They need undivided attention. And by the way, guess what? All those things are free. But here's the truth. Not too many of us are willing to do that because it takes up our time. And so God help us to learn to give our time and hugs and undivided attention more than anything else. Now, I think something else we should do is plan before we spend. Spend only what you can pay, or spend only what you can repay in a reasonable manner. You know, presents that we buy on Black Friday, sometimes 25, 35, 50, some even 70% off at Christmas, end up costing us way more than the original gift when you put it on credit cards with 33 and some percent or 27.9% of interest. God promises that if we'll put Him first, guess what? He'll supply all of our needs. Amen. And so I believe that to be true as well. Well, I think there's another bell that I want to look at, and I trust that this bell isn't applicable to anybody here today. And it's the only unpleasant bell that I could think of, and this is the hangover bell. You see, Christmas parties and gifts of liquor means lots of drunks. And it is traditionally in business environments and other places that they give expensive gifts of alcohol, whether it's champagne for New Year's or expensive wine for Christmas. And oftentimes businesses do that. But Christmas parties and gifts of liquor just mean drunkenness and debauchery. Let me help you. This is what too much drinking does. It leads to vomiting. It leads to throwing up. It leads to uninhibited behavior. And eventually, after all that's done, you stumble home, you wake up in the morning, and you have a massive hangover. Your head is aching and hurting. Your mouth is dry. You begin to realize, what did I do last night? What did I say? How did I end up here? What am I doing here? How did I get home? Alcohol consumption is a major problem in our society today. And I know that the Bible does speak about drinking wine in the Bible, and Paul had a little bit of wine to help his stomach, but medicinal reasons he took a little bit of wine. But the Bible was filled with warnings after warnings after warnings of drinking and drinking too much. As a pastor, I counsel too many people who allowed alcohol, not only alcohol, but drugs as well today, to destroy their lives. If you look at all the modern psychology and counseling books that teach that children of alcoholics have a higher percentage chance of becoming problem drinkers. You see, you would think that if a person grew up in a home of alcoholic, they would just turn and run from alcohol or even drugs, but it's not the case. And if you raise your children in a drug environment, even if you get right with God and you stop drugs and stop alcohol, your children still have a higher percentage rate of coming right behind it. It's just the same as with the statistics of a person who was either physically abused or sexually abused as a young child. You would think that they would never be involved in that, but statistics tell us that a lot of the abusers were abused themselves as little children because they never got the help and the counsel and asked God to be a part of what they are today. Day to be a help and a special blessing to them. We find them being that who was abused to become abusers. Give your children the gift of sobriety, drugs and alcohol. You know, I'm not going to stay long on this bill, but let me ask you this one question. Is it really worth it to drink? Is it really worth it? What do you accomplish from it? Well, hangover bells is the bell. It's unpleasant, and it's the only unpleasant one on my list. But then there's another one, and that simply is this. This is school bells, school bells. Kids, are you going to miss the school bells? Are you going to miss the school bells during your 10-day break and the final bell before Christmas vacation? I've been told by teachers that my last church is just about as good as the sound as the bell on the last day of school. Amen. I don't know if that's true, but that's what she told me, that that sound for the Christmas break bell is just as good as the last day of school bell. Are you happy for a couple of weeks of vacation to get to sleep in a little bit? I hope that you do if you work in the school system. And maybe for about 10 days, those school bells are quiet, maybe 14 here or something along that way. Maybe you can have some family fun. Maybe you can have some family vacation. Maybe you're not able to afford some extravagant vacation out to Denver to go skiing somewhere. But listen, good planning. You can have joy bells ringing in your home. Amen. Even though the school bells are totally silent. But then I think there's another bell that I particularly love and I look forward to every year. And that is, can you guess what it is? The dinner bell. The dinner bell. Amen. We don't have dinner bells anymore. But if you come to Pleasure Island Bible Camp, you'll quickly learn what the bell rings. That means it's time to eat. Amen. And they ring that bell and it waffles up the hill to where the girls are and down across the field to where the boys are. And literally, I tell you, every time that bell comes, except for a few stragglers, the boys come running full speed out the field to line up because they know whoever gets lined up the fastest and first and the straightest has a very good chance of getting to the front of the line. Now, being fair to the girls, they can't run because they got to run down a pretty good steep hill, but they still come and they still line up. And we don't have dinner bells like they used to out west. I never lived out west, but I watch enough westerns that the mom would come out and ding, 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 and they come riding their horses in and they wash off outside and they come in and they eat supper. Almost every family has some kind of Christmas tradition that they have at their dinner time. Maybe you have a favorite food that you ask mom or whoever cooks your dinner prepares. Maybe it's dad, or maybe it's Christmas dishes that you eat off of, you know, just those special dishes. You know, when Don and I first got married, we got a set of china. Boy, it was nice. We put it on layaway. We bought it ourselves, and it was nice. We had it at Walmart. I mean, it was at Kmart. Kmart china. It was nice. And I don't know every Christmas we got it out, but special occasions we would get it out there. Maybe you have some dishes your mother, your grandmother had, or your great grandmother gave you. Maybe you'll break them out, and that's your tradition at Christmas time. Maybe it's the timing of the dinner. Maybe you eat at 1 o'clock. That's you're eating at 1 o'clock. There's no changing in that. And maybe it's the location where you hold your dinner. Maybe it's always at auntie's house or grandmother's house, or maybe it's at your house, wherever it is. I don't know what they are. I think when our children were younger during the Christmas season, we opened up that day's numbered spaces on our Advent calendar. We used to get an Advent calendar, and you open it up, and every day, December the 1st, you open it up, and there'd be a picture of something. And I tried to find one for my grandchildren, but all the ones they have now are worldly ones. You know, and they did have some. I found a Christian one that had candy in it, and I thought that was pretty good. But I have like 5 grandchildren. That would run me $100. And I said, well, they can do without that Advent calendar with candy in it. My wife was a little disappointed, but you know what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. But that was one of our traditions, that we'd sit down for dinner, each of the boys on each of the days would open up that thing. And so, you know, we would always would let the one open December 1st one year and the other one the next year. So you rotate who got Christmas, amen, because that was always the best one. The little extra time that you spend will be worth it when you hear the bell ringing, when your child tells you that they love you and they respect you and they love Jesus as their personal Savior, just like you do. Listen, here's the truth. If we don't tell our children about Jesus, who's going to? They're not going to hear it at school, more than likely. They're not going to hear it at college. That's secular college, that's for sure. And their friends probably aren't going to tell them about it. So the truth of the matter is, it's up to you and I to tell them. And after creating good memories for your family, here's some tips to help you do that. Turn off the TV. and eat dinner together at the table. Try it during the Christmas season. I'm thankful that as we were growing up and are raising our boys in our last place of ministry, that the TV was in a separate room from where we ate at. And you could hear it if it was on, but there's no way you could see it because the way the house was laid out. It was an older house. It was nice, but it had a separate room concept. Nowadays, the kitchen, living room, dining room, TV, fireplace, dishwasher, and washing machine, they're all in the same room. And you just, you know, can visit around and talk to everybody. And that's good in its way, but turn off the TV. Take your cell phones and put them in another room. Line them up side by side, you know, if you have to. Begin each dinner with a prayer. That ought to be a given. Teach your family to be thankful. Don't fight at the table. You know what? So much good family time is ruined at the dinner table. And it should be a practice that you don't bring anything negative up. Don't talk about their bad grade at school. Don't talk about the shot they missed, you know, the perfect layup, and then your son or daughter missed it. Don't talk about that slam that they did in the volleyball court and they fell into the net and they lost because the other team got the service. Don't talk about negative things. Don't talk about their room needing cleaned up. Dads, don't talk about mom, how she burnt the food. Mom, don't tell dad that you need to get on that list because it's growing bigger and bigger every day. Don't talk about negative things at the dinner table. Keep it pleasant and palatable with the food. This is what you do. You encourage each other. You listen to each other. And you laugh with each other. Not at each other, but with each other. Listen, tell the cook they did a good job. Maybe your son made your ramen noodles for lunch. Tell him they did a good job. Maybe your wife cooked you a fabulous meal. Maybe she picked a pizza up on the way home from work. You should say, well, thank God, at least we got pizza tonight. Amen. Listen, just be thankful for whoever cooked a meal for you. And if they're a terrible cook and you know you can't lie, just tell them that the table was pretty or the silverware is an interesting pattern. Do whatever you can to find some kind of wonderful, warm, thoughtfulness, talk at the dinner table. And then I think there's one last bells at Christmas time, and that is church bells. Church bells. I wish today they build churches with spires that had bells in it. And I was growing up, we went to a church, a denominational church that's now has turned very wicked and very liberal in their doctrine. And I say doctrine loosely because really they don't really have much doctrine. They say they do, but they just believe whatever they want, and it changes with the whims and tides of and ebbs and flows of the world today. But one thing I did like about that church was they had a bell. And if you got to be a big enough man, then you could ring that bell. And I never had that opportunity. At one time, my dad did let me help him. I didn't really do it. He just did it, and I just held on just for the fun of doing it with Dad. And what a wonderful time we had. But they would ring that bell at the start of service each and every time. But, you know, when you think about bells, I'm thinking about church bells ringing. I think about people that I said this term before that are called SEAP Christians, C-E-A-P. And they only comes to church at Christmas and Easter and any problems. SEAPs, Christmas, Easter, and any problems. You know, but I'm glad that they come. I just wish they'd come a little bit more, because having a desire for them to be their best for the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy this world as God has given it to us as Christians to do, they have to come a little bit more than Christmas and Easter and any problems to be able to do that. But when people show up here at Sharon Baptist Church, and you know that they're a SEAP Christian, and you know it's not Christmas, you know it's not Easter, so there must be some problems in their life, listen, don't get angry about that. Reach out to them in friendliness and reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. Our text from Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 10 reminds us that even in the season of joy, our season could be filled with trials. Notice what I'll read that verse to you. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So even during times of trials, there could be times of rejoicing as well. And the Bible says, and the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. If you're a person, that's you. You're a people, amen. And that includes you. in the church that I've been a part of, that some have had some bells and they would ring them before, as I already had made mention. But our building doesn't have a bell. So guess what? Guess what that means? That means that you and I are the Christmas bells. And you and I have a job to do by ringing our bells, inviting people to come to these outreach events that we have coming up during this month. Inviting them to come to the Christmas Eve candlelight communion service. Inviting them to come. Maybe you can send them a Christmas card. Pay someone a visit. Ring their telephone. Send an email or a text message to them. Perhaps someone you know would love to come to this Christmas Eve service. You know, not everyone has somewhere to go on Christmas Eve. And a lot of people just sit at home, being lonely, nowhere to go. Their family and extended family is far away from there. Maybe you can invite them to come to be a part of our Christmas Eve service. Here's the truth. You don't know what they're doing until you ask them. And oftentimes we just assume that somebody as them, as lovely as they are, probably has somewhere to go and something to do during the Christmas season, particularly on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But if you don't ask them, you'll never know. Well, as we close, I think of that classic Jimmy Stewart Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. That is one of my wife's favorite movies. When the bell was rung, somebody tell me what it meant. The angels got its wings, that's right. And we know that angels don't get their wings when a bell rings, but the truth of the matter is, may the bells of Christmas encourage us, may they inspire us to do as the first Christmas angel did and share the good news and the great joy of the birth of our wonderful Savior. And then as we move from his birth to his life, to his death, and ultimately his resurrection, providing for their sin payment for their sin. Listen to the bells and live out the good news that we proclaim of Jesus Christ's birth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for this message concerning the Christmas bells. Oh, Father, there's so many different bells of Christmas that we could have spoke about. But Father, I pray that you would continually, Father, to remind us every time we hear a bell, whether it's a musical bell, a Salvation Army kettle keeper's bell, whether it's the other bells that we have already have mentioned, Father, today, I ask, Lord, and pray that you would keep us ever so mindful of the fact of the reason for this season, that your Son, the perfect, holy Son of God, came to this earth, and there lived, Father, and bled and died upon a cruel cross as our sin payment for our sin debt that we owed. So, Father, I pray that you'll keep us ever so remindful of that during this time of the year. And, Lord, you might bless your people, Father. Help them, Father, be busy about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ during this time of year.